It is hot. It's sweaty. It's the time of year that everyone says they love, but then you peel yourself out of a chair and you're wondering, wait, why do I like the summer? Oh yeah, cookouts. That's why you love the summer. And that's what our show is about this week. We're going to talk about Korean barbecue sauce with the chef Bill Kim, the pleasures of grilling little fish with the Portuguese chef Nuno Mendes, and the pros at America's Test Kitchen are going to give us the whole how not to do it wrong primer. But first, we're going to start with maybe the best part of any cookout, the sides. Bon Appetit magazine had a feature in their June-July issue on some killer make-ahead dishes, so we talked our way into their beautiful test kitchen high up in the World Trade Center to see a few of those recipes in action. They had a corner full of jars of fermentation projects, and cooks already developing their winter holiday recipes, and Claire Saffitz had me pounding the table when she turned me from a hater to a believer in a cookout classic. So hi, Claire. Thank you so much for having us here in the beautiful Bon Appetit Test Kitchen.
My pleasure.
So the first thing I want to talk to you about is pasta salad.
Yeah, I'm nervous about this part.
Don't be nervous. Okay, I'm going to tell you. I feel like pasta salad, I should love pasta salad because I love pasta and I love salad. But hey, pasta salad in my mind, I don't know when it hurt me the first time, but I've never forgotten it. And I've never forgiven it.
Are you thinking about the macaroni salad with the pieces of hard carrot in it, the mayo-y one? I totally agree. It's pasta salad should be the most delicious thing at your picnic or your barbecue. But so often it's weirdly sweet and kind of gloppy and thick, and the pasta's really mushy.
That's my thing. And I kind of feel like I don't know if there's a way around it because you've cooked the pasta already. And then you dress it, and it gets mushier and mushier.
Right. We posed the goal to ourselves to create a pasta salad that was none of those things. So I can share sort of what we came up with.
Right on.
So the first thing was not using a mayo base. And so when I first tested the recipe, I tried just a really bright vinaigrette. And another thing that happened that I realized was that when you eat the pasta cold, a lot of those flavors are muted. So you have to make sort of a punchier, more acidic, more flavorful dressing than maybe you're used to using, and more heavily seasoned. So we went with a dressing that's sort of based on romesco. It uses garlic and toasted walnuts and just jarred roasted peppers that are all blended together with olive oil and some lemon juice. And that's nice because it gives body and substance to the sauce like you would get with mayo, but that doesn't have that same heaviness. So another tip is dress the pasta salad with half the dressing if you're going to make it in advance because you need to take it somewhere. And then only right before a serving, add the rest of the dressing and toss it through.
Oh.
Because you're right, it does continue to absorb all of those flavors in the dressing. And so it can get almost dry.
Yeah.
So I have here everything ready to go. I'm just going to finish tossing everything together. So I have the pasta that's half dressed, the remainder of the dressing, some parm, some chopped tomatoes. So we figured this is summertime, it's getting into prime tomato season, and we wanted that other sort of very fresh element that was going to add sort of juiciness and something kind of bright. So I have a bunch of chopped tomato. We pulled out some of the walnuts from the dressing and chopped those up. So the idea here was just to create something with a lot of texture, a lot of different flavors, and finally some toasted breadcrumbs. And the key here was just kind of cooking the pasta al dente and not letting it get too mushy. So I'm going to put everything together and then you'll taste it and let me know what you think.
Okay.
So another thing with this was using a shape of pasta that was less prone to overcooking.
Okay.
Not farfalle. People really love farfalle.
What's the deal with bow tie pasta salad?
No, my mom always made a bow tie pasta salad that I actually really like, but it does kind of always turn a little mushy. So what we ended up going with is a very large fusilli, that sort of classic corkscrew shape, because it holds the sauce really well. And so you have all these other kind of crunchy things like the chopped walnuts and the breadcrumbs that are going to get caught in those coils. So it just holds everything really well.
I love that.
And it doesn't,
And you're
it's
using
not
like
as
novelty size fusilli. This is
fusilli
the size of my thumb.
Yes, this was a special item. But you could use regular fusilli or any other kind of shape that you like. So these are some nice heirloom tomatoes. And now I'm going to grab some basil.
Great.
And I think the basil is important because it just gives more brightness, that sort of earthy herbal flavor. That's really nice. You're in summer, so the kind of tomato basil combination is classic.
Sure.
Just these big, beautiful leaves of basil thrown right in.
Yeah. So then everything's mixed together. Yeah. I'm just going to top with more of these breadcrumbs.
Just like handfuls of toasted breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
Like not even tasting it, I think I feel it because it's like, okay, the pasta itself, it's going to be cooked ahead of time. But if the problem with pasta salad is mush, you're adding the crunchy breadcrumbs and you're adding the crunchy nuts and you're adding all these different layers of texture. So like it kind of distracts you from
right.
the fact that...
We're definitely hedging with yeah. this recipe. Is that good?
Come on. That's really good. That's legit.
Mission accomplished.
That's delicious.
But it's very bright. You know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of acid. And there's also, I love raw garlic, especially in summertime. So there is some raw garlic blended into the dressing that's really kind of a really assertive flavor there.
Yeah. Well, I love your idea of first dressing it and then redressing it again. Because mm-hmm. you're right, because you can taste the dressing in the pasta because it's absorbed in the pasta, but having that other layer of fresh dressing on top.
Right. And I think there's a good proportion here of sort of like dressing and other elements to pasta. It's not swimming in it, but it's also not, you know, it's not too dry and it doesn't feel like there's, you know, just pasta there.
This is wonderful. I feel healed.
Oh, good.
The next thing you're going to show us is charred beans.
Yeah, so we took as inspiration for this whole sort of side recipe story, those classic barbecue sides that you see all the time. So like the three bean salad was kind of the inspiration for this recipe. And we did a sort of a riff on like braised collards in the story as well. But this recipe I really like because it's so, so straightforward. And there's a really, I love the method for cooking the beans, which is just to broil them. Mm. So you get a little bit of a char on the beans and they cook through. And then it's really just a matter of putting together a really simple sort of olive oil dressing. So I already pulled the strings off of a pound and a half total of snap peas, snow peas, and green beans.
Okay.
You can also use wax beans. Any combination works. And I toss them with a couple tablespoons of olive oil. So I just want to season these with a little more salt.
Okay.
So I'm going to toss these together.
Very good tossing.
This is the best way to do it. Bean
they're
down.
Just flying, they're arcing
flying all over the place. So then I have my broiler is heated and I have the rack in the oven right at the very top underneath the broiler. So I've just spread these in more or less an even layer. It's a large volume. But I like this method of cooking because some of them stay sort of crunchy and some of them get a little bit softer. And so
yeah,
I like
so
that,
some
that makes
variety
the, texture.
In the texture.
Right.
Cool.
So these are going to go in the oven.
And you really have that rack set like right on
oh,
the
Oh yeah,
broiler.
I knew you guys were coming, so it's been heating for about an hour.
So put those beans in a flaming inferno.
Right, and in this kitchen we have big hoods, so a lot of times we don't smell things as they're cooking, but if you're at home, you'll definitely know when they start to be done. But because I always forget when I put things in the oven, I'm going to set a timer. Just about 2 minutes, especially because this has been heating for a long time. And then while those are charring and cooking through, I have here in a little saucepan about a third of a cup of oil, a half teaspoon of cumin seed, some really coarsely ground black pepper, about 3/4 teaspoon, and 2 dried arbol chilies.
Nice.
And then I'm just going to add some aromatics. I have 6 cloves of garlic. I'm just going to smash those to get them out of the skin. I was thinking about one of the ways I really love to eat green beans is like in Szechuan restaurants with the sort of like Szechuan peppercorns and all of that. I like that heat.
Yeah.
So that the idea kind of started there for this recipe.
Oh, cool.
So I have these really sort of flavorful elements that I'm going to infuse
chilies,
into the oil.
Garlic,
yeah. And that cumin too. So I'm going to put those in there and turn on this burner. And I also have some ginger that I'm going to slice.
Just skin on.
Skin on. This is organic ginger, so I don't feel like I have to take off the peel. Although it is really easy with a spoon just to take that off. So I thinly sliced that, sort of like a 2-inch piece of ginger. And I'll dump in the rest of the garlic. And I'm just trying to swirl this, and as the oil heats up, I'll start to sizzle all those spices.
Nice. This is like a serious infusion too. It's not just, a little bit of garlic and a little bit of spice and a ton of oil. This is like really, like a lot of ginger, a lot of garlic, a lot of spices. So you're really going to do like a super flavor-packed oil.
Yeah, it packs a lot of flavor because, as I said, as those things kind of sit out at room temperature, it doesn't have the same flavor impact that something is when it's hot. Okay, there goes the timer. going to double check on those beans.
Right on.
And this is starting to sizzle, so that's a good sign. Here, you keep an eye on that.
I'll keep an eye on your oil, and I will just sit here and take this ginger garlic steam bath. I hear it's good for the skin.
These are looking good.
Oh, right on. It really was just a couple minutes.
Yeah. Because we're not under the hood, it's starting to smell really good, too.
Yeah, this is...
all good stuff. And then I have here also the juice of one lime and a little bit of maple syrup. So I'm kind of creating like a little bit of a vinaigrette here with all these different elements, the acid, the oil, and just the maple, just for that balance.
Oh God, if you're ever in a bad mood, just put yourself in front of a boiling pot of olive oil, ginger, and garlic.
So this looks about done. I tend to look for the garlic getting golden and the ginger kind of starts to curl around the edges.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to add, after that cools down for just a second, a little bit, just a teaspoon of maple syrup.
Okay.
And you could use brown sugar or honey, just a little bit to give us some sweetness to it, as well as that lime juice. So this is still sizzling, and that lime juice will cool this down pretty quickly.
Right.
So now it's really that simple, and I'm just going to spread out the beans on a platter because they've cooled off. So if you're doing this ahead of time and you're going to bring it somewhere, you can do all of this and just throw the oil in a jar and the beans in like a container. Yeah, and bring it there. And so right now everything is a little bit warm, but this can sit for hours at room temperature.
Yeah.
And I'm not even really straining any of this stuff out. You can eat those garlic cloves. Yeah. I would tell people to avoid the arbol chilies, but
if
you're into it.
Adventure in your life,
right.
You go for it.
Go ahead and try.
I love that. Like the sweetness of the snap pea. You can get just a little bit of color on it. Not crazy, like dark char.
Mm-hmm.
But then with all that garlic and all that ginger and like the spices, it's delicious.
And it's flexible. If you don't like cumin, you could use coriander or another whole spice. You can follow it exactly or you can kind of riff on it depending on what you have at home.
Yeah. It's delicious. And my second bite was totally different from my first because... I got more cumin in this bite. And that bite was like more about ginger.
And the green beans are a little thicker, so they are still a little bit crunchy versus like the snap peas, which get really soft. So I like having all that variation.
God, this is so good. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for coming.
Claire Saffitz is senior food editor at Bon Appetit magazine, and I promised her that I would tell everyone that despite the fact that she did not use any mayo in her recipes for this feature, she is, in fact, a mayonnaise lover. And you'll find those recipes for charred bean and pea salad and romesco pasta salad with basil and parmesan in the June-July issue of Bon Appetit and on our website, splendidtable.org.